Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Every time he comes with new information. It's always timely. He informs us of what is about to come. He just finished up a show, and we appreciate him running right over to get on the phone lines to talk with us. Mr. Williams, if you happen not to know who he is, you would have had to have been under a rock. But I'll try to bring you up to speed. Lindsey Williams was a chaplain on the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline for 3 years during its construction phase. The Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline is the biggest and most expensive project ever undertaken by private enterprise in the history of the world. $12 billion was spent in 3 years to build a 4-foot in diameter, 800-mile-long pipeline across Alaska from America's oil field on the Arctic Ocean. Lindsay Williams is an author of 6 books, 2 of which became bestsellers. He has been a Baptist minister for 50 years. But because of his position as chaplain, he was offered executive status with Alyeska's Pipeline Service Company in its advisory capacity and sat in on board meetings with the elitist of the world for 3 years. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome back to the stage Mr. Lindsay Williams. Let me open up his phone line. Good evening, Mr. Williams. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for letting me be with you this evening.
Oh, well, listen, it is our pleasure. Mr. Williams, you've been a busy man. The last time we spoke, you told me you could not even talk because the information that you had gotten was so shocking to you that you were afraid to put it out. And you said, give me 3 weeks, and then I'll do your show. Well, it's been about, I think, 5 weeks now, and we are ready to hear what you have to say. So, listen, you have the floor.
Okay, you're very kind, and I appreciate your persistence, and I thank you for being willing to wait on me, because you're exactly right. That's just what happened. Now, Carrie, I'm sure there are many new listeners that you have out there tonight. You always do. May I just very briefly give some background so that people will understand? You did a marvelous job of introducing me, by the way. I appreciate that. Let me just give a few other personal items here, so that people will understand why I have the authority or ability to be able to say what I'm going to say tonight, because I'm going to say some things that are very unusual, and I want people to have a pencil and paper so that they can take down what they're hearing, because 2012 will be the most startling, the most unusual, the most eventful year in 2,000 years. I say that without any hesitation because of what I've just learned. But just very briefly, I was a pastor of a church for 12 years. The Lord called me to go to Alaska as an aviation missionary. And just after arriving in the state, they announced that they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline across the state of Alaska. And they said that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on the state to build it. Well, Carrie, naturally, the first thing that came to my mind as a missionary was 25,000 of the roughest, toughest, cussendest, drinkingest, onerous folks on the face of the earth, they must need some spiritual guidance. That was definitely the understatement of the year. Well, I went to Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, and I said, don't you need a chaplain on the pipeline? Well, they laughed at me. I kept going back and back and back. After a while, I guess they got tired of seeing me around, so they said, okay, we'll give you the northern sector of the pipeline. Go up there and see what you can do. Well, I did, and I'm sure they thought I'd last a week or two, but 6 months later, I was still there. And they came to me one day. I remember Mr. R.H. King, personnel relations man with Alyeska, and he said, chaplain, you're saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees. We never knew the value of a chaplain on a pipeline before. He said, we'd like to offer you executive status. And I said, what does that mean? He said, well, when you're at Prudhoe Bay, stay at ARCO base. And he said, we'd like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity. Carrie, I had not the slightest idea what I was getting into. For 3 years' time, I lived with the people that you hear about in the World Bank, the IMF, the top oil company officials of the world. I sat across the dinner table from them. I lived in the same dorms with them when they were at Prudhoe to come up to do their managing work on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. And it changed my life because I had never come in contact with such human beings on the face of the earth. I'd been brought up in a Christian home, came to know Christ as my Savior very early in life, and all of a sudden I'm thrown into the midst of the most dastardly people on the face of this earth. And If someone had asked me before I went to the pipeline, Chaplain Williams, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world? I would have laughed at them, just as some of you may out there in the listening audience tonight. But if someone had asked me after I lived with these people for 3 years and sat in their board meetings and heard what they had to say, do you believe there's a group of people who tell the President of the United States of America what to do, dictate to Congress what bills to pass, tell the Arabs on any given day what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil, and control the currencies of the world, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. Now, if there's any doubt in anyone's mind, I'd like to remove that doubt whenever I say there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. I don't know how to say it any plainer. I've been a minister of the gospel for 50 years. I try my best to tell it to you as I see it. And while there on the pipeline, there were two individuals in particular that were off the top echelon that I became very close friends with. People oftentimes ask me, why in the world would they even have anything to do with you? Well, I think it had to have been the providence of God, because there is no way that a little insignificant, unknown missionary flying airplanes out in the bush of Alaska could have ever sat with the elite of the world except by God's providence. And I think I was put there, Carrie, for the purpose of being on your show tonight. No, I really mean that.
Because it
is my privilege, by being on the Carrie Hines Show on center stage, to be able to let you know what you are going to face in the year 2012. And if I had not been there on that pipeline, I could not tell you what I'm going to tell you tonight, because there were two of those individuals way back 35 years ago that I have kept in touch with over these years. And periodically I would be on the phone with one of these elite, and they would tell me everything that they had heard behind closed doors. People oftentimes say, well, Chaplain Williams, why in the world would these people tell you things like this? I think there were really two reasons. Number one, I think out of respect and admiration for the fact that I gave 3 years of my life to be their chaplain, and I sat and had an opportunity to talk with them one-on-one, they were not in my church. I was on their oil field. And secondly, I learned something when I lived with the elite. And, of course, the only way to know it is to live with them on their own terms. And I learned that the elite do have certain codes of ethics. And one of their codes of ethics is they must tell the world everything they're going to do before they do it. I find that the greatest problem with the average individual is they don't know how to interpret what the elite are saying. Remember many years ago, Bush Sr., when he was president, he made the statement, new world order. Did anyone know what he was talking about back in those days? No, I didn't. I didn't have the slightest idea. You remember him, he used to say, 1,000 points of light. I didn't have the slightest idea what the man was talking about. We know today he was talking about the new world system they intended to initiate. And knowing the mindset of these people and living with them and rubbing shoulders with them for those years, I tried my best to learn to tune my ear to what they had to say. And they have told me many things. And I think oftentimes they will say things to me because they know that I have the listening ear of millions of people through radio talk shows that I'm on. And as a result, they have told me some very startling things. Now, the reason that I was a little hesitant about appearing on any radio talk show for about nearly 4 months, and I wasn't turning you down, Carrie. I didn't do any shows. I didn't do a single radio show anywhere, inside of America, outside of America, with any talk show host for nearly 4 months, because back in the summer, I was given some information that scared me. I mean, literally, I was frightened. I didn't know what to do with it. Here I have a moral obligation to the world to tell you what they're going to do, and they tell me some things that are so frightening that I'm afraid to give them out. And very seldom in the past have I ever been afraid to tell what they said. But this summer I heard some things that I had to prove it. I needed to contact different people and find out if this is really the case, because it was so startling. And basically what they were telling me is everything that they were going to do through the year 2012. 2012 is so very significant. They have timelines, the elite do. They have agendas that they intend to complete before the end of 2012. Let me give you just an example, some background. I'll just give one. I could give many, but I only give one example tonight. Some of you, many of you will remember, who have heard me on numerous radio talk shows around the country over these many years. And about 3 years ago, some of you will remember that I had a phone call one day from a gentleman, and he said, Chaplain, would you like the world to think you're a prophet? And I said, Ken, what do you mean? He said, well, within 3 months' time, the price of crude oil is going to go from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. I said, Ken, you can't do that. I said, this would impact the OPEC oil-producing countries to the point that it would be catastrophic. He said, Chaplain, I said, within approximately 3 months. Now, you were paying $4 a gallon at the gas pump at that time. And you remember now, it went down to $1.50 a gallon back on the East Coast and in most of the western part of the country. Well, I dared to risk 35 years of reputation and 6 books that I've written and to go on radio stations all across this country and tell what I'd been told. I was laughed at. I actually had some talk show host to laugh at me over the air. In fact, I'll never forget one Wall Street financial analyst that was on a very prominent radio talk show that I won't mention the talk show host name, or you would, because he's one of the most prominent in the country. And he had on this gentleman to give the financial report for that week. It was on a Friday. And I was on the show at the same time. And I gave the statement that crude oil was going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. And this Wall Street reporter, he said, Chaplain, you shouldn't say things like that. He said, now, don't deceive people into believing such. He said, that just can't happen. Well, I didn't say a word. He was a very prominent gentleman. I have a great admiration and respect for him. So I didn't say anything, didn't refute him. But sure enough, 3 months later, exactly as this elitist had told me, it happened. And not long after that, I was back on the same show again, and the same gentleman from Wall Street was there. He said, well, Chaplain, I'm going to have to admit you were right. He said, I apologize. He was man enough to say, I was wrong and you were right. And I said, yes, the only difference in what you heard from me and what you were hearing from the other newsletter writers out there, and it's the same thing today. What you're hearing from newsletter writers today, they get it from their computer entries. They get it from I think so and hope so and possibly could be, and this is my experience. I don't do that. All of my information comes from these people who behind closed doors plan it in advance, and that's the reason why that within 35 years there's never been a single time that what they told me has not happened exactly like they said it. So after that event of it going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel on crude oil, my phone almost rang off. They said, you're a prophet. I said, no, I'm not. So I want to emphatically say that right now. I am not. Lindsey Williams is not a prophet. I do not get what I get from tea leaves. I do not get it from divine. I don't get it from dreams. The Lord hasn't spoke to me audibly. What you will be hearing does not come from a prophet. It comes from those who are doing it. They literally plan this oftentimes years in advance, and they know what they're doing. So as a result tonight, Kerry, the things that I will be giving on your show, if the people think that that was prophetic back a few years ago, what I said, in comparison to what I'm going to give tonight after for nearly 4 months, I was afraid to even give it out. People are going to hear some things this evening that will enable you to save your dinner table, spare yourself from heartache, know what the elite are going to do, overcome the New World Order. You can. You can be victorious. You don't have to be their slave. So, Kerry, those are the things that I think your audience would like to hear tonight. You tell me.
Oh, I think they're ready. I think we all are ready.
Well, I'd like to preface this by using an expression, and that is old men talk. Now, you see, the people that I was with on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline 35 years ago, they are in their 70s and 80s now. They have retired. But they still know everything that goes on behind closed doors. One of them, for years, I couldn't give his name. Out of respect for him and admiration for him, who he was, even though there were many things that he and I disagreed on, yet I didn't give his name for years. And about 8-9 months ago, this man died. His name was Mr. Ken Fromm. And now people wondered back in those days, was Lindsey Williams really telling the truth? Does he really rub shoulders with these people? And now, of course, there's no secret. After he passed away, I felt free to use his name. You can go there on your own website, on the Internet, and find out for yourself who he was. He was senior executive with Atlantic Richfield. He knew everything that they planned behind closed doors. And before he passed away, he, for all practical purposes, said to me, he said, "Chaplain, I'm too old to care. Just tell the world everything." Well, I have tried to do just exactly that since he died. And then when I was told what I was told this summer, I think at this point you need to know exactly what's happening. So please have pencils and paper. Please write these things down so that you can put them beside your calendar and see it happen. Watch it take place exactly as they're doing it, because I'm going to give you some of their timelines tonight. The first one I'd like to give you is the elite have an agenda that by the end of 2012 or thereabouts or shortly thereafter, depending on how they're able to accomplish it, they want to create such massive debt in the world before they bring about the crash. Now, did you hear the word before? I tried to emphasize it. You know, I see so many newsletter writers. I'm not critical of them. They try their best to say what they can, and some of them may know some of these people and know what's going on. But I hear this, oh, there's going to be a crash of the American dollar on 10-10, 11-11. And they scare the living daylights out of you. I'm so sorry, but how sometimes they give you these sort of things. I'm trying to say to you that the elite, they want to create massive debt in the world before they bring about the crash. Now, that doesn't mean that you should let up on any of your preparation. You positively must get food and water and things that you need in your house. You must buy the things that you need to prepare yourself and for your family. But and don't take any time doing it, because the dollar is going to become so worthless after a while, you probably won't have the currency to be able to do what you want to do. But the elite are in the process right now of creating massive debt in countries, in states, in cities, in banks, in individuals all over the world. Let me try to give you an example. Anyone who listens to the news these days, even the secular news, you know that the country of Greece in Europe is in trouble. They are on the verge of default. They are in big trouble. It's no secret. And I asked a financial friend of mine recently, I said, why would anyone in their right mind purchase any Greek bonds in order to try to help to bail that country out? I said, they'll never get paid back. I said, even though they offered 80 and 90% interest per year, I said, there's no way in this world Greece is ever going to pay that indebtedness back. I said, why would anybody buy those bonds? And they said to me, Chaplain, you don't understand. That's the whole purpose of the thing. I said, what? He said, yes. He said, don't you know who's buying those bonds? I said, no. Well, what do you mean? He said, the elite themselves are buying those bonds. I said, why? They'll never get the money back. He said, that's the idea. He said, the elite want to create massive debt. They want to own the debt. They want to hold the bonds so that when Greece does default, and they know it will default, they can step in and say, we have a new world currency ready for you. The new world order will be more than happy to bring you out of this mess you're in. And after all, we hold the debt of your paper anyway, so you take our new world order as we have it to give to you. These people are so, this is the way they think. And let me go down to states. I'm sure each of you recognize that many states in America are already on the verge of bankruptcy. California is one of the worst. And they want states to get in such debt. They want the economies to get in such condition that those states have been bailed out by the Federal Reserve, by way of the taxpayer, have been bailed out by the banks, and they want them in such massive debt that when it finally does come to the crash, which they are going to do it. I mean, the crash is coming. There's no getting around that whatsoever. The indebtedness of the United States of America, it's unsustainable. It cannot be paid back. There's too much of it, $14 trillion plus. The states, they want them in massive debt so that they can issue them their new currency whenever the crash comes, and they'll gladly take it. Let me give you a personal example. They want every city in the United States of America to be in such horrible condition and to have borrowed so much money from the federal government by way of the Federal Reserve through QE1 and QE2 and bailouts and all the rest. Well, this happened. It happened in 1929. How do I know? Because it was very personal with me. My dad was a very wealthy man. He had gone to Florida. He had made it good in the Florida land boom back prior to the 1929 Depression. And my dad hadn't made some right decisions. He invested everything that he made, a fortune. He had invested it in Coral Gables City bonds. That's right. Coral Gables is an area just on the outskirts of Miami, Florida, and my dad knew that Coral Gables could never go bankrupt. Times were good, houses were being built, the building boom was strong, and he invested all of his money that he had made in the bonds of Coral Gables City, and in 1929, when the Depression came, the city of Coral Gables declared bankruptcy. Oh, you say, Chaplain, a city can't declare bankruptcy. Oh, yes, it did. The city of Coral Gables, Florida, declared bankruptcy. Go back in your history now. You'll find this. It declared bankruptcy, and my dad went from being a very wealthy man to a pauper within 24 hours' time. Shortly after that, I was born, and my mother and dad were so poor that my mother had to sell her grand piano in order to pay the doctor's bill to bring me into the world. Now, you say it can't happen? It did. It happened in my family. And they want every country in the world that they can get them in this debt. They want every state in America. They want every city to be in such condition. They want every bank in America. Now, oh, you never thought about the banks. Oh, yes, QE1, QE2, bailouts by the Federal Reserve. There's one particular bank in America I just love to pick on. It's the biggest bank in the country. And it's too big to fail. It can't fail. The government can't allow it to fail. It's Bank of America. And let's just say, for instance, that back 10 years ago, you wanted to buy a house. So you went to Bank of America, and you said, I would like to get a loan. Oh, they said, we'd be more than happy to give you a loan to buy the house. This is just supposed. Now, just imagine that this has happened. And sure enough, you've been paying on that house for 10 years, and all of a sudden the elite decide that they've got every human being, every state, every city, every country into such massive debt that they're going to let the crash take place. They can't. They could have done it in the last year of President Bush if they'd wanted to. You remember QE1. They said if you didn't bail out immediately within 24 hours, the whole world is going to crash, and it would have, no doubt about it. And they're at the point now that they're going to have to come up with QE3 in order to supply the billions necessary in order to bail out the system again. And Europe's in trouble. The euro's in trouble. The European whole system is in trouble. Okay, they have bailed out Bank of America to the tune of billions of dollars already. So for all practical purposes, who owns Bank of America? The Federal Reserve. Oh, by the way, of the taxpayer, of course. All right. All of a sudden, the crash takes place. They're going to allow it after a while. And when it happens, you lose your job. You can't make your house payment for 2 or 3 months. Bank of America comes in and says, sorry, but, you know, this crash just happened, and you can't make your house payment. We're going to have to repossess. They don't give you one thing back, do they? No, don't give you a penny. You've been paying on it for 10 years. They repossess it. It's in the fine print that they can do it, and there's not a thing you can do about it. And they don't give you a penny, but they own it now. Who? Who owns it? Bank of America? No. Who owns Bank of America? Federal Reserve. Who's the Federal Reserve? They're the elitist that I'm talking about. First of all, it's not federal. That's correct. The Federal Reserve is not an agency of the United States government any more than Federal Express is. And there's no reserve there. None whatsoever. Well, they repossess your house. The elite now own Bank of America. They've taken it over without revolution, without the American people rioting. And they've given it the new world order, and they have a new currency for you. And they'll turn around, the elite will, after taking your house that you've paid on for 10 years and give you nothing back, and they'll turn around and rent you that house back for the rest of your life. This is really what it's all about. There's one expression that I hope you'll remember out of everything else I say tonight. That is, the name of the game is control. They don't want riots. They don't want revolution. They want to control everything. They want to control countries. Oh, no trouble controlling Greece. They've got it right where they want it. The United States of America, you think they can't control us? Well, listen, if you will, to the figures. We had a new physical year that began 28 days ago. And on the first, at the end, we wound up, as of the first new physical year, we wound up with a indebtedness. The United States of America is in debt to the tune of $14.837 trillion. Now, the very first 2 days of the new physical year, the first 2 days, 2 days alone, because of reckless spending on the part of Washington and our Congress, the very first 2 days of the new year alone, the United States of America chalked up $142 billion increase of indebtedness in only 2 days. Did you hear that? 2 days alone. And here we are with the massive debt of the United States of America. Let me give you just an idea of what that debt might sound like. I know it's difficult for me. I can't, personally, even though I've seen these figures many times, I cannot comprehend these figures, but let me try to explain them if I can. $1 billion, not a trillion now, $1 billion represents $3.20 for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. $1 trillion represents $3,200 for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. And our country is $14+ trillion in debt. You multiply that times 3,200 for every man, woman, and child, that means that every single person listening to this broadcast tonight, Gary, owes $44,800 in debt that the United States government, of which we are a member of this country and a citizen of this country, and we owe that, and it can't be paid back. There's no possible way. It's unsustainable. That is exactly what the elite have planned. It's what they have done. They intentionally created this over a period of 20 to 25 years. They knew what they were doing because it had been planned behind closed doors, and now they are increasing this massive debt as fast as they possibly can in every country, every state, every city, every bank, every individual, in order to bring in the new world order under their auspices and a new currency, and this is what they want to do, Gary.
If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight. We're talking to Chaplain Lindsey Williams about what what's going on with the elitist agenda. That's that top 1% that everybody's been talking about down there at Occupy Wall Street. We're getting an update tonight. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Okay, back to you, Mr. Williams.
Well, Carrie, do you have call-ins or do you have people that send you emails in the course of the program?
They're in the chat room, and we can open the phone lines if you'd like us to.
You know, I would like to hear. I've got a lot to say tonight. I've just begun. I mean,
okay.
I've got pages of notes here. In the course of the evening, I'm going to talk about the devil's Messiah.
Okay.
I mean, this is so fascinating. Until, don't change that dial. By the way, you stay where you are because you're going to want to hear this. I'm going to leave it toward the last hour for a very definite reason. Back about, I think it was 3 years ago, I was on the phone with one of these elitists. And in the course of the conversation, he used an expression that fascinated me. He called it devil's Messiah. And I couldn't quite understand what he was talking about. So I went back and I asked him, I said, what do you mean by the expression devil's Messiah? And he went on to explain that this is not a part of the Antichrist of the book of Revelation. No, it has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's not necessarily related to the Messiah, whom you and I know, but it is the key word or the phrase of the elitist for describing the method of demoralizing the United States of America. And he went on to tell me how they've done it in the churches, how they've done it in the schools, how they've done it in the courts. And when I came down to this, I was amazed to find out. And I think you're beginning to understand why I was so startled when I heard these things this summer. In 2012, the elite have an agenda for the demoralization of the United States of America. I mean, it is so startling until you have to see it. You really can't, I really can't even put it in words. Now, Carrie, just before I decided to go on radio stations, and as I mentioned before, there was 4 months there, approximately 4 months, that I didn't do a single radio show anywhere because I was so concerned about what I had learned. And before I would go on radio stations, I said, this has got to be recorded. I said, otherwise people are going to say, you said it after it happened. And I said, I want them to know that this was given to me in advance. So we hired a video studio that came in and actually videoed all of this material. I invited one of the leading financial experts of America to come in and appear with me on the set because I said, I've got to have a person to give solutions to what I know that the elite are going to do. And this man flew about halfway across America just to be with me in the studio. And we produced 3 hours, 3 DVDs. This is done in beautiful digital format. And 3 hours, 3 different DVDs, multiple cameras. And we produced a series explaining the devil's Messiah, explaining the elite have a think tank, and we explained what the think tank of the elite have found out that they think are going to happen in 2012. That's very unusual in the spiritual world, and this you'll also find very startling. And the only way that we could describe the Devil's Messiah program was to actually let you see it. We have numerous cuts, inserts, DVD inserts, not just me standing up there talking, where we show you what that Devil's Messiah program is. You will be startled to no end. In fact, the gentleman who appeared with me on the set, he said, Chaplain, did you know that my son was exposed to this in the public school just recently? And I said, what are you talking about? You'll see it on the DVD, by the way. He said, my son was sitting in the classroom when the president of the United States of America came on the TV in the classroom. And he said, my son had no choice. He had to sit there and listen to it. And he said, what this man said was so startling. And he went on to tell it. Your children probably didn't even come home and tell you about it. Mm. And the only reason his son told him was because he, up until this year, his son, by the way, is in high school. Up until this year, he's been homeschooled every year. But they moved out of the city, and they thought, well, if we get into a rural environment, maybe we'll have a little better public school system. And so they put their child in public school when they moved this fall. And the son came home and told him this. The dad said, I don't think I can leave you in there all year long. He said, I'm afraid I'll have to pull you out before the year's over. And I don't know what he's going to do. But he tells the story of what his son heard in this DVD series, 2012, The Beginning of the End. But anyway, let me go back and say that if anyone in the audience or in the chat room, mm-hmm. if you have questions or you have comments, I would love to know what you're thinking so that I can improve what I say to people and help them understand better some of the things that the elite are doing to us. So please do call in. And, Carrie, if you have a phone number or whatever you want to give it out, please feel free to.
The phone number to call in is 347-850-8390. Mr. Williams is taking questions, so y'all need to call in. And if you want to challenge him on anything he said or if you have questions or comments about anything that he said so far, please feel free. Get on the phone lines now, 347-850-8390. And so, Mr. Williams, go ahead and continue.
I would like to give a statement. You'll find this startling, but there again, I just have to tell it as I know it to be. By the end of 2012, oh, folks, I wish I could explain to you how that 2012 is so important. 2012 is going to be the most startling, the most unusual, the most eventful year in 2,000 years. I say that without any hesitation whatsoever because of what I know. By the end of 2012, the elite have an agenda that every private fortune will be lost that is secured with paper. Now, I hope you got the entire statement.
Ouch.
Every private fortune will be lost that is secured with paper.
Ooh.
IRAs, 401Ks, mutual funds. Mm. If it is written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on.
Mm.
Now, back about 3 to 4 years ago, I was on the phone with one of these elitists, and he made a statement that I didn't understand. I couldn't comprehend it at the time. I readily see it now. He made a statement to me. He said, Chaplain, if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And I hope you'll remember this expression, because if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And I was literally flabbergasted when this man made some statements that he did in the course of our conversation that day. And I said, well, how can I protect my family? How can I protect my dinner table? I mean, how can I provide for my family? He said, Chaplain, there's only one way that you won't lose the value of what you have. And I said, what is that? He said, that's our currency. Now, you have to understand the elite in order to be able to catch these phrases. But I said, okay, what is your currency? He said, it's not paper. He said, our currency is gold and silver. Did you catch that?
Our currency.
What throughout all of time has never lost its, it has never gone to zero. Yeah, it may set back a few dollars, but it has never gone to zero. Paper has. Paper has been lost. Currencies are gone that were written on paper. Gold and silver never has. And I said, well, he said, that is the only thing that is going to maintain purchasing power. Did you catch the words purchasing power?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that will maintain purchasing power. And they're not going to let it be regulated. They're going to keep it so that they are free to use their currency. And the currency of the elite is gold and silver. And they have, as part of their agenda, by the end of 2012, that private fortunes will be lost that are secured with paper. I urge you, I beg of you. Oh, by the way, I do not sell gold and silver. You couldn't buy an ounce of gold or silver from me if you tried. I do not sell it. And that is not the reason I'm saying this. I'm saying it to you to try to warn you. You must secure your assets immediately. You don't have to secure them in gold and silver. There are other ways of doing it. And that's the reason that I asked this gentleman, whom I mentioned earlier, who appeared with me on the set to do this new DVD series, 2012, The Beginning of the End. And one of the reasons I had him there was to tell people how they can secure their assets so that they won't be lost. But really, the key to the whole thing is, if it is written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And those fortunes, they plan. It's part of their agenda.
Let me pause you right there. First of all, when you say, because we got some callers holding, one thing I know you say is when you say secure your gold and silver, you're not talking about putting it in safe deposit boxes, because I understand you say that's not the thing to do.
When banks closed, or when they closed in 1929, some people never got their belongings out of the safety deposit boxes. That definitely is the wrong place to put gold and silver. And you can secure your assets other ways. Land, certain things that are not written on paper that are investments. But gold and silver, of course, is the best of them.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to area code 817-320. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First of all, good evening or to everyone on the panel there.
Good evening.
I had a question in regards to 2012. He's mentioned it several times. 2012 is also an election year coming up. Did the group of elitists have anything to say in regards to the election and the outcome of that?
The coming election, they have not been willing to say anything. You can be assured of one thing. They aren't going to give you any choices. Any person that they put up there, they already have them in their pocket, and they've bought them out, or they wouldn't allow them to be there in the first place. But they have not said who will be running or who will win.
Mr. Williams, I heard that you said I think it was on Alex Jones' show, that Obama was not their choice. I think McCain was their choice. But some kind of way things got filed up and Obama's in. But you said, if I understand what you said correctly, is that he is messing up and he's in danger of exactly what happened to Kennedy? Did I understand you correctly?
Let's go back just a little bit because prior to the election, we knew who the candidates were. They were McCain and Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to the election, I was on the phone with one of these individuals one day, and he said, McCain is our man.
Mm.
And I said, well, what do you want? Now, keep something in mind. I lived with these people for 3 years. They think they're God, but they aren't. They just think they are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always get their way. If they had had their choice, they would have wanted McCain to be in. But it really doesn't matter, because whether it's McCain or is as it has proven to be in Obama's case, he's done everything they've wanted. You know, it's quite interesting that just before the health care bill went through, in fact, it had not even been presented to Congress yet, and I was on the phone with this gentleman one day, and we were just discussing everything in general, and in the course of it all, I asked him, I said, what about the health care bill? He just chuckled on the phone, and he said, Chaplain, that is not a health care bill.
Mm.
And I said, now, I gave this over numerous radio talk shows before the health care bill was ever presented to Congress, and it is in the archives of those shows that I said it, so nobody can doubt the fact that it was given to me after the fact. In fact, I was on Alex Jones' show with it and made this statement before the health care bill ever went before Congress. And he said, that is not a health care bill, Chaplain. And I said, well, if it's not, what is it? He said, that is total control of the American people.
Wow.
He said, it is not a health care bill, and it's not. And we have found that out now. It contained everything imaginable, from euthanasia to taxes to control of doctors. It is a control of the total population of the United States of America. And one doctor just told me the other day, a very prominent man, if I named him, you'd know who he is because he has a nationwide radio talk show, so I won't give his name, but he and I were on the phone. In fact, I was on his show just recently, and he said, Chaplain, did you know that 40% of the doctors in the United States of America are retiring or are quitting as of the time that the health care bill takes effect. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the older ones are retiring. He said, number of the younger ones refuse to stay in. He said, you're going to lose 40% of the doctors of the United States of America the day that the health care bill takes effect.
Mm.
I mean, we are in big trouble. It is total control. I'll go a little bit further with that health care bill. I don't usually give that, and I've given that before, but let me give it here on your program tonight, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Or is the caller still on the line, and did he have other questions?
Caller, did you have another question? Caller? 817-320, did you have another question? I think he must have.
Okay.
He still shows on the line, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me give this about the health care bill because it is so important. I was on the phone the other day with a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you would know him if I named him because he's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he said, Chaplain, I was one of the ones that had been chosen to try out the new system in preparation for health care taking effect a year or so from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I have already been given a little gadget about the size of a cell telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, whenever health care goes into effect, full-fledged, he said, every doctor in America will have one of these. And he said, I have been chosen to try it out. And he said, I already have it. And he said, what the doctor is going to have to do, and I'll tell you in a moment, this man actually appeared before Congress. He was so startled over this. It's in the congressional record. And he said, I have this gadget. And he said, any time that a patient comes to my office, I am required to type in certain codes on this little gadget I've got, which instantaneously goes to Homeland Security. And then before the patient ever leaves my office, they send me back a message telling me what I have to do in light of the diagnosis of this patient. They have no choice. And this man, this doctor, was so startled over this until he asked permission to speak before Congress and was allowed because of his prominence as a doctor who has been practicing medicine for many, many years. And he went before Congress and he said, suppose I, as a doctor, don't agree with what you say the treatment should be for this patient that I've just sent you in on this little thing. And he had it in his hand. He said, you'll be fined $500 immediately if you do anything contrary to what we say. He said, what happens the second time that I disagree and want to treat my patient properly and do what should be done if it disagrees with you? They said, the second time, doctor, you'll be put in jail. That is what is planned already by Homeland Security as a part of the health care bill and will be put into effect within a year or two in the United States of America, and you're going to face it along with the loss of approximately 40% of your doctors.
Wow.
And this man said to me, numbers of years ago, before a health care bill ever went before Congress, he said, Chaplain, this is not a health care bill. He said, it is total control. And I went on stations all across the country, and I begged people not to let this thing go through, but we already have now. So let me go on down the line with a few more items here, unless you have some other callers.
I have some other callers holding. Okay, area code 281-855. Good evening, you're on Center Stage. Area code 281-855. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Good evening, Carrie. I'm sorry I had you muted. Good
okay.
evening,
Hi,
Ms. Williams.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Mr. Williams, this is Thelma Tormina. She's with the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas.
Hi, Selma, and thank you for calling tonight.
Well, thank you for being on. A lot of the things that you've talked about so far, we kind of already had an inkling to, and it is a bit frightening. But do you think we stand a chance as Americans of stopping it?
We have to. We have no choice. Our children are not going to be slaves. And we must go back to the Constitution of the United States of America. I'm glad you asked this question because I was in Canada lecturing some while back. And after I finished my talk, a Canadian came up to me and he introduced himself and he said, Chaplain, I want you to go back to the United States of America. He said, we don't have any hope up here in Canada. He said, we don't have a constitution to return to. He said, you are the only nation on the face of this earth that have a constitution that is still intact, that you can return to it and demand your government to give you your freedoms. And he said, if America fails, the entire world becomes a slave. He said, I want to ask you to go back to America and return your government to your constitution, because he said it's your only hope.
So are a lot of us out here that are thinking that maybe it's God that's waking us up and having us choose to stand for that constitution and put it back into place the way it was originally intended? If we fight back against the elitists, I would imagine there's a chance we can win, isn't there?
Well, positively we can win. The Bible is very plain that if people will turn to the Lord and repent of their sins and allow him to have his way in their lives, that he will heal their land. And I believe America can be healed.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And I think there's hope, and I'll tell you why. When I lived with the elite, there's one thing I found out that scares them to death. Very few things bother them. Money doesn't bother them at all. Some of them had enough money that they could write a check for $1 million a day the rest of their life and never spend their fortunes. That was not the issue. There's one thing they're scared to death of. They are afraid of the masses waking up. And that's the reason I feel it a privilege to be on Carrie Hines' show tonight on Center Stage, because the more we can tell people the facts, the more of my DVDs I can get out there, 2012, the beginning of the end, that gives you solutions as well as what they're doing, the more people we can wake up. I do not copyright my DVDs, by the way. I know every person I know of that produces DVDs, and it costs a lot of money to make these things. They copyright. I don't copyright any of my DVDs. I tell people everywhere, get an original set of them and copy them. Give them to everybody you can. Get them on public access TV. Put them on YouTube. Put them every place you can. We've got to wake up the masses, and that is the one thing that scares the elite to death. And that is the masses waking up and taking some action against them. And you know where to take that action next November, I'm quite sure.
Yes. And that's what we're doing. So we need to know how to get your DVDs. And do you go around the country talking or no?
I have not lectured around the country in a number of years. Back about 1980 through 89, I was averaging speaking 2 and 3 times per day all over America. And all of a sudden, the audiences just dried up whenever the Internet came into being. And today, I can reach so many more people through the Internet and talk radio shows. So I've chosen to do that because you hardly get an audience anymore. Where we used to get an audience, the largest audience we ever had was in Salt Lake City, Utah. We had 10,000 people in the Salt Dome one time to hear a number of us patriotic speakers all day long. Today, you do well to get out 500 or even 100.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will put you guys in touch with each other, Thelma.
Please do. I would appreciate that, Carrie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm still here listening, okay?
All right.
Okay.
We're going to go to area code 626-488. Good evening. You're on center stage. Area code 626-488.
Hello?
Good evening.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, okay. I appreciate you letting me come on and discuss with your guests. I don't get many opportunities to speak with a guest that's connected to the elite. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate. So my name is Covina. I'm a black guy. I live out here in LA, and it's curious. It's interesting when he talks about the New World Order. It's an issue that I would say a lot of black people are very well aware of the New World Order. We just call it something different. We call it the system of racism, white supremacy. And that New World Order started in 1492. Now, we live under the New World Order, which is the order of white European dominance over people of non-white complexion. That case of New World Order has resulted in genocide, has resulted in murders, rape, enslavement, and a myriad of other catastrophes that affected the globe, and even affects them in spiritual matter. Now, the context of racism, or the system of racism and white supremacy, takes place in the areas of politics, of finances, of military dominance, as well as education and media. There's a number of ways that the system of racism and white supremacy totally controls what it is that every American is raised to think is correct and not correct. And what I find curious is when the real elite, the real people who's connected to the system, tries to point out where the New World Order is coming from, it's usually talking about pockets of resistance against the system of racism, white supremacy. An example, so if people who are victims of corporate pollution stands up and says, I don't want to be a victim of corporate pollution, these connected elites will say these people must be part of the New World Order. They tend to marginalize or demonize people who are sick and tired of being victims of racism, white supremacy. So I'm not doubting anything that your guest is saying. I mean, I do have issues with probably most of the things they're saying, but I'm not going to stop it and go point by point. I just want to highlight that there is no new world order. It's just the current world order of evil dominating over people. And that evil, that system that we live under, is called the system of racism, white supremacy. There is no new world order. That's the old world order.
Mr. Williams, how would you address that?
Mr. George Bush, Daddy Bush, Sr., who was President of the United States of America for only one term, he used the word that began the designation as to what it was, and he was the first one to actually come out and, in a major way, advertise the expression New World Order. He dubbed it as that. I prefer to use his own words. He knew what he was talking about. And today you still hear the term New World Order used, regardless of whether it be black or white. We all are facing the same issue of a system that wishes to take over the world.
Okay. Thank you, Kavina Matt. We're going to go to a number that's not showing. It's known as a block number. We're going to go to you at this time. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hi. Hi, Chaplain. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you? Hi
there. Thank you for calling in.
When you were with the elite over in Alaska about 35 years ago, when did you realize that this elite were a major problem or the New World Order?
When I sat in on their board meetings, I heard so many things that startled me to no end. I'm glad you asked this question, because I remember one night I was so flabbergasted. I was beside myself. I had listened to this all day long. I helped to host these people as they would come to the pipeline, and they put in big letters right across the top of my hard hat, chaplain, and they seemed to be so proud of the fact that they would allow a chaplain on the pipeline. And I helped to host these people all day long and be around them. And I was
Can
at
I
my
interrupt
wit's
for
end.
A second? Because Carrie's going to go to another guest, I'm sure, in about a minute or two. So I just wanted to ask about two questions and then get off the air.
Okay.
If you realized then that they were, that these were the evil people who were going to prevent the Americans from getting their oil, then you wrote the book, The Non-Energy Crisis. The point I'm getting at, you realized then that they were the evil people?
That's the reason I wrote my book, Energy Non-Crisis, was to help to expose them.
Okay, because it seems, because I have the non-energy, the energy non-crisis in front of me, and it appears that you are blaming everything on the government and not these guys. These guys had to go through wobbling. These guys had to live under regulations from the state and the federal government that prevented them from actually performing a good deed of getting the pipeline. So can you clear that up for me? Because it seems to me like the elite that you talk about, if they're the same people that were the evil people back then, there seems to be a huge difference now. Back then, and in the book, these guys were the victims. Now it's these guys are the New World Order. So is it the bankers, or is it the oil people, or who's the New World Order?
I think probably the best way to explain it is to say that even back then, I realized that our Congress, our president, was totally under the control of these people. And probably that's the reason that you gather what you're gathering from the book.
So the authorities were under the control of the oil people?
Oh, positively. The government, our government, every person in Congress, there's a few like Ron Paul that might not be quite as controlled as others, but every single one of them had been bought.
Okay, because that's not the impression that's in the book at all. It's making these people out to be victims as a result of the government imposing, like, as you're saying, state regulations, government regulations, preventing them from getting the pipelines built and preventing them from actually bringing it in on deadline and on time, at cost.
Let me give you one example. I was actually with Mr. Fromm one day, the gentleman who died about 8 or 9 months ago, and I said to him, I said, Ken, these ecologists up here, they are costing you a fortune to try to build this pipeline. I said, why in the world do you put up with them? And he said, Chaplain, you don't get it. He said, we give millions of dollars to Sierra Club. We give all of these tree huggers. He said, we control both sides. He said, whatever we want, we get. We're letting them do some things because it really doesn't matter too much. It looks good. But when it really came down to it, they were still totally under that control because money seems to run the show.
Well, I believe that, big money would. Federal Reserve would probably be the engine behind all of it. But again, in your book, it has no inkling whatsoever that these guys are in control of the world. They're just going to delay letting the people know about what's happening in Gull Island because the government won't let them. And the government has a plan in the future to do what you've been predicting for the past couple of years. But the book itself, again, nothing in the book that makes these guys out to be victims. And I'm reading the part about the ecologists, about the eagles, about the environmentalists now. Nothing in here. That's why I wanted to call in and find out how come there's such a difference now as opposed to 35 years ago. It's the Arabs. I'm reading the chapter, Why Are the Arabs Here? But you're saying that the government was under control of these oil people. Were they under the control of the Arabs too?
When I produced my book, the manuscript for the book in 1980, a book like this was so unusual. I mean, you just did not say things like that back then. Well, today even Rush Limbaugh will say it. But today, back in those days, 1980, you didn't say this sort of thing. I sent the manuscript to my book. I had a pastor in Denver, Colorado, that told me, said, Chaplain, you've got to put this in print. When I told him what he said, Dr. Earl Matheson at Beth Eden Baptist Church, and I said, okay, I will. I sent the manuscript to every leading publisher in America. And each one of them wrote me back without exception and said, it's too hot. You'll get sued. We can't handle it. And there was not a single publisher in America that was willing to publish that manuscript back then, which today it would be peanuts compared to what most of the talk show hosts are saying. But back then, you just did not say things like that. I don't know how to say it except that I said everything I could at the time and still get the manuscript out.
So you're saying that if you actually said that the oil people were the New World Order, that they were in charge, you would not have been published?
No, because the subject or the phrase New World Order had not even been used yet by Bush Sr. See, many things that you and I take for granted today in the way of expressions and what's happening by the Federal Reserve and QE2 and 3 and all this sort of thing, all this is brand new since the book was printed in 1980. We didn't even know those things existed back in those days.
I also have a transcript of Biden also saying on the floor of Congress that there's a new world order coming back in 1991. So your book was published before then. But
yes.
even without using the term the new world order, you're talking about how if the ARCO, if they didn't follow the regulations, they would go bankrupt.
Well, I told it the best I knew how back in those days. That's the only thing I can say. We did not even have these expressions. Nobody would have ever guessed in 1980 that our country would come to the place where it is today.
But you had the inkling, though. But you knew it.
I knew that I had met up with some people that were the most unusual and the most controlling that I had ever met, with power that I had never even thought could exist on the face of the earth. You have to understand, I was brought up in a Christian home. I had a wonderful, godly mother and dad. I was totally out of touch with reality when I was a pastor for 12 years. And all of a sudden, I'm thrown into the midst of these people. You'll have to give me credit for the fact that every bit of it was a whole new world. I was deciphering what I could and what I could get out of them, and I did the best I could to tell the American people what I knew after it was all over with. Today, I say a lot more. And you and I both know a lot more today than we didn't know back then.
Well, you knew it back then. I also liked your second book in terms of a warning about the New World Order better than this one. The second book actually gives a more chilling, I guess, if not forecast, a little bit description of how evil they are.
You know, my books were out of print for a number of years. People watch DVDs now. They don't pay any attention. Very few people want to read like they used to years ago. And as a result, the books were out of print for about 2 years. People just begged for them. In fact, I understood at one time that a copy of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, sold on Amazon for someone who had it, sold for over $1,000. In fact, it may still be that, I don't know. But anyway, we decided, since people were begging for these books again, that we would make them available so people could get them for just very few dollars. The issue is not money, because I wanted to get them out to the people. So if a person wants a copy of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, or my second book, To Seduce a Nation, you can get it on Amazon Kindle.
I think we lost that caller. Are you there, Mr. Williams?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I think we lost that caller, but okay. Tell them how to get your book.
The books can be gotten on Amazon Kindle. That's the book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and also To Seduce a Nation. If you would like my new DVD presentation that you watch on your television at home, by the way, the first of these were shipped out only last week. This is brand new, and I hesitated for nearly 4 months to even be willing to produce it. And it's entitled 2012, The Beginning of the End. It's three DVDs, 3 hours plus long. And if you wish to order it, you may. Our toll-free number is 888-799-6111. Now, we have operators standing by 24 hours a day. Middle of the night, middle of the day, matters not. You can pick up the phone and call. We have six operators standing by 24 hours a day. And the number is 888-799-6111. Or if you wish to go on the web, you can find a description of the DVDs, and you'll see pictures of our cover and the three DVDs. You can go to www.prophecyclub.com. That's PROPHECYCLUB.com. If you wish to go on the web, or our toll-free number, 888-799-6111. 2012, The Beginning of the End, 3 hours long.
If you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight. We're talking with Chaplain Lindsey Williams about the Elitist agenda. We want to know what's going on, what are they planning for 2012, and he's given us an update of what to expect. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.
www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in bold in the chat room, and I will try to present it to Mr. Williams before the end of the hour. Mr. Williams, you were telling us what to expect from the Elitist Agenda in the year 2012, which is just around the corner. What else can we expect?
Just recently, I was at a certain conference, and a gentleman walked up to me and introduced himself. And I said, oh, my gracious, I know your dad. He said, yes. I said, I used to buy gold and silver from him 30 years ago. He said, that's correct. And he said, he now has retired. And he said, I own the business. And I said, oh, my goodness. I looked over at a very heavy-duty van that he and his family had come to this conference in. And I said, what a van that is. I said, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. And he said, yes. We had to have it beefed up heavy duty like that in order to carry the tons of gold and silver that we deliver. And I said, what? He said, yes, we've been in the business so long, we actually have direct contact now with the Mint. And he said, we literally deliver tons of gold and silver. And I was amazed. He began to name some of his clients. You know what's happened? I think, Carrie, you probably do recognize what's happened to gold and silver prices lately.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah, they've gone down.
Oh, they've gone down?
Dropped. Yeah, the gold and silver prices dropped. Gold, I think, dropped about $300. It was up to $1,900, dropped back to about $1,700, and then started back up again. Silver dropped and is now beginning to go back up gradually. But I said, who is buying the gold and silver from you? And he named off his clients and then some foreigners. Now, I want you to do something for me. I'm going to tell you the answer, but I also want you to do something for me. I want you to go on the web and prove what I'm just fixing to say.
Mm.
The first day of October, that was 28 days ago,
mm-hmm.
the United States Mint sold in one day 737,000 one-ounce silver eagles in one day.
Wow.
That's 750,000 silver eagles were sold the first day of October alone. That's 42% of the sales all of the month of December of 2010. Who's buying it? I'll tell you who's buying it. The elite. They took the price of gold and silver down just long enough to buy literally tons of it. They took it down as far as they could. And when it starts back up, you are going to see it go up like a rocket. You're going to see gold go to at least $3,000 an ounce plus. You're going to see silver go to $75 to $100 an ounce. And who's buying it? The elite have bought it because it is their currency in order to secure their assets because they have bailed out of the stock market. They're getting everybody back in they can. They themselves have bailed out. Folks, I hope that you will at least be willing to investigate all this and find for yourself exactly what's happened. Now, I want to give you another one that's very startling.
Let me pause you there. Didn't you say, or aren't you predicting that the stock market is going to go up and up and up before it drops off?
That's correct.
Okay.
And it went up 300 points on yesterday. On the news that Europe had solved its problems, which it hasn't. It only put a Band-Aid on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to take it up, pull everybody in as much as they can. If it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And after they've pulled you in, they will crash it gloriously when they get ready to pull the string on that new world order. I do not know the date of which they're going to do it, but I do know that it's in the wind. I'll give you another thing that's going to happen. The United States government will default on its national debt. I hope you heard this. This you'll find very startling. Very few newsletter writers will even talk about this subject. The only reason I am, because I know it's going to happen. The United States of America, not only Greece is going to have to default one of these days too, and the European Union, but the United States of America will someday, I didn't say 2012, it may be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years down the line, but the United States government is going to default on its national debt. But I want to tell you something, it's not going to happen. Now, please, I almost hesitate to say this, but I have to tell you what the facts are, even if it might be a little controversial tonight. Welfare recipients, those who receive food stamps, those who are getting Social Security, your checks are not going to be cut off. Did you hear this? I hope you got the word. Welfare recipients, those who are on food stamps and Social Security, your checks will not be cut off until, I'll give you the date.
Until
the United States government defaults on its national debt, and I'll tell you why. The reason, I know this is very touchy now, so, and especially amongst the group I'm speaking to tonight, the reason they aren't going to be cut off. Now, they can confiscate the private fortunes of those who haven't yet taken them out of paper, the IRAs, the 401Ks, the mutual funds. You're going to lose them. And it very well could happen in 2012. They have an agenda. But that touches such a small group of people. They know that the day that the welfare checks don't go out, the food stamp checks don't go out, and the Social Security checks aren't received, they know good and well that day the cities of America will burn.
Oh, yeah.
They know that there will be riots.
That's revolution in the street.
They don't want riots. The last thing in this world that the elite want is for the American people to rise up and riot. They do not want revolution. They will do anything to keep you from it. They will give you. They will give you house payment mortgages. They'll give you every kind of thing imaginable to keep the welfare recipients, the food stamp people, and the Social Security people from hitting the streets, because they want to get everyone into such a debt condition that when they finally do decide to bring in the New World Order in its full force, that you will be so hungry, you will have lost the purchasing power of your American dollar to the point that you will beg the New World Order for the new currency. You will beg them for the New World Order. They want you to beg them to give you a way out, and they'll be standing right there ready to do it, and you will accept it rather than go hungry and have your family crying. And they must get things to that stage before they bring about the crash. They know they're going to do it. They know it's going to happen. The national debt is too great. It can't be paid off. But the last people that will fail to get their checks will be the welfare people, the food stamps, and the Social Security, and it's all a part of the plan of the elite. I need to give you one other while I'm on this same subject.
Wow.
Those of you who own a farm and you have it paid for, you have a house and it's paid for, you own a business and it's paid for, you haven't gone and gotten a small business loan, you must immediately, as soon as possible, go and buy enough gold and silver to pay your taxes for 3 to 5 years. No, you've never thought about this. Probably nobody else is. I haven't heard a single newsletter writing about this. The first thing the elite are going to do is they're going to confiscate your property, your automobile, your house, wherever it may be, turn around and rent it back to you under the New World Order system through the Federal Reserve. And those that they can't get that way, they know that when things get tough enough and the dollar loses its purchasing power and you've lost your job or you can't sell your farm products, that they will be able to confiscate your farm, your house, or your business for taxes. But you say, wait a minute, the state doesn't belong to the elite. Well, now, come on, think back here, folks. What condition is California in? It right now is bankrupt. What's the condition of many cities in the United States of America? Some have already declared bankruptcy. What's the condition of Bank of America right now? They've been bailed out to the tune of billions of dollars by the Federal Reserve. Who, by that time, will hold the reins to the county that you pay your taxes to? None other than the elite. And they know that if you can't pay your taxes for 3 to 5 years, that they'll be able to get it, even though they couldn't confiscate it because you couldn't make the payment. Oh, but you say, wait a minute, Chaplain Williams. The county won't accept gold and silver as payment for my taxes. You are exactly right. They surely won't. But you know what the price of gold is right now? $1,700 an ounce approximately. Do you know what it's going to be by the time the New World Order and the World Bank gives a new currency that will be backed by gold and silver? Gold will be well above $3,000 an ounce. You buy it today for $1,700 an ounce. When it gets to $3,000 an ounce, you go and buy the new currency, whatever it may be at that time, with it, and you can go and pay your taxes, and you haven't lost anything, and you still have food for your dinner table. Folks, you must think like the elite. It's very difficult. I've tried my best to explain the mindset of these people the best I could in the books that I've written. And you
let
need
me jump
to
in there
how
just
they
a
do
second,
what
Mr. Williams. To just piggyback something he said, today I caught MSNBC, which I rarely do, and they said something. Mr. Williams always says you have to pay attention to the buzzwords. Today they said for the first time, home ownership may not be the American dream. And they began to say how renting may be a better option for people and how that now may be a great time for investors to buy up real estate and then people rent from the investors. That's the first time I've heard where home ownership wasn't the American dream. But it kind of goes with what he just said. They're trying to change your way of thinking now that maybe not having a home is not the greatest thing and maybe renting is not such a bad thing. I mean, you're just changing the language up. So all of a sudden, the new thing is now don't worry about having a home. Maybe that's too big of an obligation for you. Maybe you should just rent. But anyway, I just caught that today, and it's so online with what you're just saying. But okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I had to put that out.
Carrie, you are so wise. You are getting the message, and thank you for hearing these things. I try my best to help people understand their buzzwords. And, Carrie, you picked up on those buzzwords. Congratulations.
I heard that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just had to put that out there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you just heard that.
Today on MSNBC this morning.
Yeah. They're programming you for what they want you to think and the way they want you to think, and so many people are falling for it. Our students are being programmed in college. They're programmed in grammar school and high school. And by the time they get out of college, they think in such a way that they already have the mentality that the elite want them to think in because they help write the textbooks.
Wow.
Well, let me give you one more that I hope you will guard against. And that's the reason I'm giving this one is strictly, and you can. This is something you can do yourself. This didn't cost you a penny. This is something you can do to guard. One of the agendas of the elite for 2012, and you notice so much of this focuses on 2012, that is such an important year you cannot imagine it. Now, I don't put any confidence in the Mayan calendar, but you must admit that the Mayan people were a very advanced civilization. They developed a time clock and a calendar that nobody had ever equaled up until that point. They used the stars in the heavens, and they said that December the 21st of 2012 was going to be the end of this dispensation and the beginning of a new. Now, I don't put any confidence in that, yet you cannot dismiss the fact that it's out there, and there are timelines that the elite have for 2012, and I'd like to give you one of them. It's a simple word, but it is so important to you. The word is fear, F-E-A-R.
Wow.
Now think about something, and let's be realistic for a moment. Since 9/11, there has not been a single terrorist attack in the United States of America. Come on now. Let's be honest. Be upfront with me. Not a single terrorist attack since 9/11, yet you are scared to death. You go to the airport and you shake in your shoes. and they pat you down, and they talk you down. And you're treated like a common criminal in the airport. You go to the courthouse. You pull everything out of your pockets. You pull your belt off. You pull your suspenders off. They don't let anything go through without knowing what it is. Then they came along with Planet X and Elanine and scared the daylights out of you. And then many of you will remember back on Labor Day, oh, there's going to be a terrorist attack in Washington or New York. We've already had a secret report that – I sat here at the dinner table with my wife and my son, and I said, there's not going to be any terrorist attack in Washington or in New York. I said, this is nothing but a fear tactic that is being instilled through the government of the United States of America and our politicians. There has not been a single terrorist attack since 9/11, and it's not going to happen now either, and it didn't. Well, let me tell you why. And you will see the reasoning behind all of this. When I heard this, I went to two medical professional friends of mine, one here locally and one a very prominent doctor, which I won't mention his name. Again, I'll say he has a radio program nationwide, so you'd recognize him if I used his name. And I said to my local healthcare professional here, I said, what happens to the body whenever fear is imposed? And he said very quickly, he said, the brain shuts down. I said, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's exactly what I thought you would say. Then I went, I made a phone call to my doctor friend, MD, practicing medical doctor for many, many years, very prominent in America. And I said, what happens, and I explained this to him, and I said, what happens when you impose fear on the human body? He said, the brain shuts down. I said, doctor, are you getting the message? They want you brain dead. And one of the best ways in the world to do it is instill fear in you. And they'll do it every way they can through 2012. Don't fall for their line. You don't have to lose sleep at night. Don't look for black helicopters every time you go out of the house. Don't look behind bushes everywhere you go. If so, you are falling for their line of fear, and it will shut your brain down to the point that you can't think correctly. And it is one of the agendas of the elite for 2012.
So every time we turn around now, we're hearing they foiled the plot. I think that's the term. And that's the term they'll use. They foiled the plot. You know, they stopped something. We never knew who it was or what it was. It was always they caught it before it happened. We're hearing that a lot now.
Yes. And isn't it amazing that Osama bin Laden, as many people as he had murdered, and the things he'd been involved in, that they didn't bring him to international court and try him. Instead, within a matter of hours after he was killed, they buried him at sea so that nobody could ever find his body.
Wow.
Have you ever tried to put two and two together?
What are you saying? That really didn't happen like we hear it happen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever wondered why we are in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Oh, my gracious. This is so startling you can't imagine it. 87% of the world's opium comes out of Afghanistan.
Oh.
87% of the hard drugs and the opium, heroin and others, come out of Afghanistan. And they have never told you why we're in Afghanistan, have they? Never.
No.
Not one, the president, not one congressman has ever told you why we're in Afghanistan, yet we have lost hundreds of soldiers, men and women. Why?
Didn't we originally go in Afghanistan looking for Osama bin Laden? Is that where we went? I thought that's where we went.
We've already found him and killed him. So now why are you still there?
We're still there. This is true. Okay.
Yeah.
Very true.
Why did we ever go there in the first place? We went there to protect the interest of certain individuals. 87% of the opium. Can you imagine how many trillions of dollars in a year's time go through the banks of the world because of the opium trade?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is dastardly how we have been betrayed and what's taking place. Well, I've got just one or two more things here that I need to get down to before. I know time is running out here, and you've been so kind, Carrie. Unless you have some other callers there. People in the chat room.
Okay, if you all want to speak to Mr. Williams, you need to get on the phone line. If you're in the chat room, you want to talk to Mr. Williams, you need to get on the phone line. There's folks on the line, but nobody's hand is raised. So if you want to talk to Mr. Williams, you need to raise your hand now. Nobody's hand is raised, so go ahead, Mr. Williams. And if they do, I'll interrupt you, but go ahead.
There is one thing to your advantage right now. And I saw this summer, and it was so exciting to me. And it is to your advantage. There is major dissension and discord amongst the elite right now. I learned something when I lived with these people, and that is that they're not in love with each other. I mean, keep in mind what kind of people we're dealing with here. We're dealing with real professionals and businessmen. And the only reason they tolerate each other is to accomplish what they individually wish to accomplish. But they're not in love with each other. I remember one day I was in the vehicle with one of them, and I knew that his cohorts were giving him a problem. In fact, they were trying to get him fired, trying to get rid of him. And I told him, I said, are they going to succeed in getting rid of you? I like the gentleman. He was real nice to me. And I said, are they going to succeed in getting rid of you? I'll never forget his response. He said, no, Chaplain. He said, they can't bother me. He said, I know all the skeletons in their closet. He said, they wouldn't dare touch me. He said, all I'd have to do is just talk. Well, that's the case with these people. Every one of them have skeletons in their pockets and in their closets. And one only tolerates the other, but they really are not in love with each other. And for some reason right now, because of the way world events are going, there is some real dissension and discord amongst the elite themselves. And this is very much to your advantage right now, because it gives us, should we say, a window of opportunity in order to take care of your affairs, secure your assets, and to do what you need to do. Now, I know some people would be prone to say, after what I'm saying tonight, well, I'll just take my time and get that food supply and water supply into my house so that when times get tough, I'll have something to get by on for a few months. Don't you dare do it. You should not. I know, even though I have said that you've got a window of opportunity here, don't put off what you're going to do, because the dollar is going to deteriorate so much in its purchasing power. Let me give you the expression that was given to me a while back. They said, there will be plenty of food and water on the grocery store shelves. They said, the grocery store shelves are not going to be empty. Folks, you must understand the mindset of these people. They don't think like you think. They don't think. I had to train myself to even be able to understand what they were saying. He said, not going to be any shortage of food and water on the grocery store shelves. He said, the grocery store shelves are going to be full through this entire crisis, but he said, you may go hungry. And I said, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. He said, the reason you may go hungry is because the value of your currency, the American dollar, is going to deteriorate in its purchasing power to the point that you may not have the currency's purchasing power ability to go and buy the food that's on the grocery store shelves. He said, through the New World Order, we can bring in food from anywhere in the world. He said, if there's a crop failure in California, we bring it in from somewhere else. He said, if there's a crop failure in Florida, we bring in the food from somewhere else. He said, the grocery store shelves are not going to be empty, but he said, you may go hungry for lack of purchasing power of your currency to be able to buy it. Folks, don't let up. Don't be deceived by what you may see looking like one thing when it's actually something else. They are the greatest deceivers on the face of this earth. Whatever you're going to do in the way of preparing your household, you need to do it soon, Gary.
I hear you. I think 626 has one more question. We're going to go back to him for a second, Mr. Williams. Area code 626-488. Good evening. Again? Good evening.
Yeah, this is Kofi Nguyen again. I wish I would have had a chance to dialogue with the guy, but I had a question I'm trying to get the answer to. One of the questions I did want you to answer was what do you think of the Occupy Wall Street movement? But what my main question was, what exactly or who exactly is controlling the situation now? You're predicting that the New World Order is coming. I'm trying to figure out from you and your theories, these elite people, where did they come from? When did they take over? And I'm just trying to get some information on your viewpoint on that. Because like I said, we always knew who these people were, and there's nothing new. And whatever strategy that they're trying to propagate or somebody trying to propagate is more of a misdirection, because the power, the people that's in power are the people that's in power. There's nothing new under the sun. So I'm just trying to find out from you, where did these elite people come from?
I found them from every group imaginable. I know oftentimes I'm asked this question over other radio stations, in which I know what they want me to answer. They want me to say it's this ethnic group or that ethnic group, and I can't do that. I have to be honest with you and tell you. I saw everything from Jews to Gentiles. I saw everything from black to whites. Mm. In fact, you've got a man right now that is trying to run for the presidency of the United States of America that was on the board of the Federal Reserve.
That's Herman Cain, y'all.
And you don't have the slightest. Well, he's the only man out there beside Mr. Obama.
That's true.
And you don't. Some of the people don't have the slightest idea what his background is. You better go look him up real carefully. He actually served on one of the regional boards of the Federal Reserve, and his mindset is of this same thing, and he's trying to get the vote of Americans to run for president.
Right. That's one of the things that we've been trying to point out, is that you have the elite. Like I said, it's nothing new. We have the elite. We know who they are. We know it's the Koch brothers. We know it's Rupert Murdoch. We know who the elite are, and they have an agenda. And that agenda has always been an agenda since 1492. Like I said, it's to dominate the world. That agenda has never changed. They don't care if it's Japan, India, China, Africa, the former indigenous Americas or indigenous Australia or New Zealand, or you can name them. I just go down the alphabet in the calendar and pick the globe, pick the country, and you can pick the event. When the New World Order showed up, dominated, raped, stole, took all the resources, put in a viceroy, and then put in a king or prince or whoever they wanted to serve as their puppet master for that population, and they control the situation as it is and as always have been. There's nothing new. Whatever kind of apocalypse you think is coming has already occurred on the shores of pick the country and I'll pick you the time when that apocalypse came. And it's
okay,
nothing
what
new.
Is your question? What is your question?
It doesn't seem like you able to articulate on that issue. From I'm just going to ask you, what do you think about the Occupy Wall Street movement? Thank you.
I have no opinion. I have not the slightest idea who they are. You know as much about them as I do. I have watched every kind of person imaginable be there. Most of them can't even tell you why they're there. They have no agenda necessarily in what they're doing, and you probably know as much about them as I do. I do know one thing. The elite do not want riots. They do not want what they're seeing in the Occupy Wall Street group, and the last thing in the world that they want is uprisings because they want to bring in their new world order according to their plan.
Okay, y'all, if you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight. We're talking to Chaplain Lindsey Williams about what the elitists are up to next. That top 1% that they're talking about down there on Occupy Wall Street, Mr. Lindsey Williams is telling us about it tonight. Mr. Williams, we're down to our last almost 50 minutes in the show. So in closing, what else can we anticipate for 2012? What can we expect?
Well, Carrie, I'd like to bring the most important subject that I have in the entire program in these last few minutes that we've got. And okay. The question is, why 2012? You know, back in the year 2000, I've been a minister of the gospel for 50 years. I'm 75 years of age. And back in the year 2000, I thought surely something was going to happen. Mm. Let me tell you why. Let's go to the Bible for a moment, if I may. I'll just quote a few things here for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know many of you people out there are familiar with the Word of God and have studied it much in your lifetime. And from the Adam until Jesus Christ, we know from the genealogies of the Old Testament is 4,000 years. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
From Jesus Christ until the year 2000, we know is approximately 2,000 years. We don't know exactly. The Roman calendar may be off a little bit, yet on the other hand, it may not. That brought us up to approximately 6,000 years, according to the scriptures, of man being on the face of the earth. Now, let's go to another scripture, and I hope you'll write these down for me.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, I hope you'll go write that scripture down and go to, and look at the context, those of you who will be willing to go to the Bible, read the context of that scripture, and you'll find out it is talking about time. And it's talking about also time in relation to the creation. We know that there were 6 days of creation and one day of rest in the book of Genesis. Now, let's take that 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, and that means that we are up to the 6,000th year right now in the mind of God. And we know that the millennial period, as described in the book of Revelation, is a 1,000-year period. That would make a total of 7, and that completes the creative cycle of the book of Genesis and also man's existence as we know it today on the face of the earth. Now, then why didn't something happen in the year 2000? I thought it would. I honestly looked for something to happen in the year 2000. Well, when I became aware of what I found out this summer, Carrie, this startled me more than anything else I had found. The elite have a think tank. Let me try to explain a think tank. There's a subject they want to know about, and they will get a group of their people together, and they'll have them to investigate it in every way possible. The elite are aware of the fact that in 2012, there's going to be some divine manifestations. Now, I can't go into this, but just to a certain extent, because for lack of time, we take about 25 to 30 minutes in our new DVD series, 2012, the beginning of the end, to give you all the scriptural background to this. But let me try to explain it this way I can in just a few moments we've got. They know that 2012 is a key year. Why not the year 2000? Now, let's go to the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger. It was very insignificant, really, because no one came to that birth that night except for some lowly shepherds out on the hillside. The wise men didn't come until it was 2 years later. Read the scriptures and you'll find out they came and found Mary and Joseph in a house, not in a stable, and they found a young child. They didn't find a baby. So nobody came that night to his birth in Bethlehem's manger except some lowly shepherds, and there were no trumpets blown. No kings came. There was no big fanfare made, and it really wasn't that important. Well, that would compare to the year 2000 if we take a day as 1,000 years, a year as but look at something. When, question now, don't answer, but just think it through. When did the ministry of Jesus Christ begin? It did not begin at his birth. It began 12 years later. Come on now, think about it, and go to Hebrew tradition, and you'll find that a child, even today, in Hebrew families, are bar mitzvahed. What happened to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the Hebrew, you'll find it as Yeshua, and what happened to him at 12 years of age? His parents took him to the temple, and basically the same thing that you still have in Hebrew tradition, even unto today, bar mitzvahed, and when they took him there at 12 years of age, and he ceased to any longer be a child. I hope you'll go on the internet and look up bar mitzvah. You'll find some excellent explanations. We give it in our DVD series, 2012, the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm.
And at 12 years of age, a Hebrew child ceases to be a baby, a child, and becomes a man. For the first time in his life, he's allowed to read the Torah in the synagogue. And he becomes a part of the family at 12 years of age. And at 12 years of age, Jesus Christ was taken to the temple. His parents got part way back home. And you'll find it in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 50. We won't have time to read the scriptures. You please do that for yourself. Luke 2, 41 through 50. And they started on the way back home, got part way back home, and he wasn't there. They were startled. They turned around and went back as fast as they could to the temple. And where did they find him? They found him in the temple, sitting with the lawyers and the doctors and the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priest. He was done founding them. He was teaching them things. A 12-year-old child sitting in the midst of the doctors, and they were hearing him. And the Bible says in verse 46, they were astonished at what this 12-year-old child was saying. Why should they be astonished? After all, they had in their midst God himself. The one who gave Moses Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy was sitting there as a 12-year-old child. He'd been born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. And here he sat for the first time, able to read the Torah in the temple. Why should they be dumbfounded? He gave Daniel the prophecies. He gave Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel all the prophecies they had. But they were sitting there looking at this 12-year-old child in utter amazement. Now watch what happened. When his parents came back and found him in the temple, here's what they said. Son, why hast thou dealt with us? In verse 48 of Luke chapter 2. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Look at this reply of Christ, and you'll have the answer in verse 49 as to why 2012 is going to be so important. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I be about my father's business? And how old was he? He was 12 years of age. What are we entering into? 2012. Why didn't unusual things happen in the year 2000, which would correspond to the year of his birth if we took 1,000 years as a day and a day as 1,000 years? Because at the birth, it was only an insignificant time. When did he, well, not insignificant, but not necessarily greatly advertised, at what point did he begin his ministry at 12 years of age? The elite know. And when I heard this, I am dumbfounded at what I found when I went to study the scriptures and find the real answer. 2012, there will be some divine manifestations. You mark my words. You'll see it happen. I did not say divine intervention. You know, Christ has been so misunderstood throughout all of the ages. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of it, and yet the scribes and Pharisees couldn't believe who he was when he came here. But why shouldn't they? After all, they thought he was coming back to put down the Romans. Everybody thought, oh, he's going to come back and do away with the New World Order. No, he's not. And he didn't come in the first time when he came. He didn't come to save Israel from the Romans. What did he come to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. What's he going to come back to do this time with some divine matter? I did not say that 2012 was the coming of Jesus Christ. Don't you dare go away from this program and say that. Lindsay Williams did not say that. I wouldn't dare, because the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. 2012, you will see divine manifestations, not divine intervention. He's not going to come back to save you from the New World Order or to save you from the destruction of a piece of paper currency that the United States of America should have never had, because we were told in the Constitution that they would have meant gold and silver. What is he coming back to do? When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den by the king, did God save him from the lion's den? No, he didn't. What did he do? He went to the lion's den with him and closed their mouths. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, did he save them from the burning fiery furnace? Not on your life. What did he do? He went in the burning fiery furnace with them. And the king went down in it, and he said, how many did I put in there? And they said, three. He said, I see four. And he said, the fourth is likened unto the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is exactly what I believe, in what I heard this summer, And then the best that I can interpret it from the scriptures, you are going to begin to see some of the most unusual events take place on the face of the earth in 2012 that has been seen in 2,000 years. I hope you are in tune with the Lord. I hope your house is sitting on a solid rock and not on sinking sand. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, because come 2012, you had better be ready to meet some very unusual events and to stand before some unusual things that will take place. You're going to see them. I have asked a number of talk show hosts that I've been on with lately. I've said, as you begin to see these things take place in 2012, I said, I hope you'll allow me to come on your program and interpret them for you, because I will know them from the powers that be. They know something's going to happen. And I'm beginning to realize more and more all the time that we are going to see some of the most amazing events. Now, I have only touched on the edge of this. You need to hear all the background in the scriptures, and you will get them in the new presentation, DVD presentation, which you watch on your television at home. It's entitled 2012, The Beginning of the End. The first one's just went out last week. This is brand new. And in it, I describe the Devil's Messiah program, which the elite wish to demoralize America. You've got to see the pictures. We can't even describe it in words. I told the people on the set, I said, you'll have to see this in order to understand it. We put the clips in so that you will see the demoralization that they have planned for 2012. And your children need to know what to expect in the schoolroom, too. And you'll see all of that. And then what is going to happen with, I believe, divine manifestations, not divine interventions, in 2012. And I hope that you will try your best to help people understand what 2012 is going to be, what it means, and what they could be facing. So once again, just in case you would like to help your friends and neighbors and also spare your own dinner table and know all of the issues, and I have even touched on such things as China is America's greatest danger. You're going to hear that in the DVD presentation. You're going to see about Gull Island. You'll actually see the pictures of it. As described in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, written 35 years ago, please go to our toll-free numbers. The toll-free number is 888-799-6111. We have operators standing by 24 hours a day, all night. You can call right now if you'd like after the program. And if you wish to, you can go on the web to www.prophecyclub.com. That's PROPHECYCLUB.com, or 24 hours a day, toll free, 888-799-6111. I would urge you, set your spiritual house in order. You've got some very unusual events that can be real victories. You don't have to worry about this. If you're prepared and know the issues, there is no fear whatsoever in this. You can enter 2012. You can beat the New World Order. You positively can be victorious. You can have food on your table if you know the issues. If you don't know the issues, you're in real trouble. I would urge you to listen to the elite. Hear their buzzwords, as Carrie just told you some a few moments ago. Tune your ear to know how to listen to what they say, and you will be able to be victorious over it all, Carrie.
Wow. Yeah, that was Lindsay Williams. Thank you so much, Mr. Williams, for being with us. He always brings us new information, and, y'all, he has yet to be wrong. That's all I can say. He has yet to be wrong. I thank you so much for being with us tonight. And, again, if you want to get his DVDs, if you want to get his books, call 1-888-799-6111. A reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Also a reminder, November 11, 2011, from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, we're going to be talking about Defend Rural America Against Agenda 21. This is a must-hear show. There's a lot of really bad things going on out there in Cayou County, California. Really, we're talking about Agenda 21 in full effect. You do not want to miss the show. Again, thank you to Mr. Williams. Thank you, audience, for listening. I appreciate you tonight. Follow me on Facebook. I'm Carrie Hines on Facebook.
The clock on the wall says I got to get out of here. Y'all got to make room for someone else to come through. But, again, I'll see you next Friday from 8 to 10. We're going to be back on our normal schedule next November 4th from 8 to 10 p.m. Thanks again. See you next time.